Hello, this is your host, Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute here at the Education Gadfly Show and online at edexcellence.net. And now, please join me in welcoming my special co-host, the office's biggest Anglophile, Stafford Palmieri.
Hello.
So, Stafford, an exciting time for you Britain watchers.
I know. I really only got into this because I have a friend who is working over there right now, and she's very tapped into the conversation.
Yes. So David Cameron is finally in place. Mm-hmm. This just happened, Mickey. Listeners, this will be several days old by the time this is.
But, I thought it was labor that was...
Resigned this afternoon, and Cameron is the new PM. He's already been to the Queen and announced, and she has given him the mandate to form a new government or whatever the stuff they do over there is.
It was a little reminiscent of back in the year 2000 with our own election confusion, didn't
slightly.
It seem? Slightly, yes. But this ended, I guess you would say, better. This would be, it didn't have to go to a Supreme Court.
Well, I think so interesting is how heavily they weight the quote-unquote mandate to lead, which is not what we do in this country, because obviously back in 2000, the other guy would have won
on the electoral. But that election was a lot closer than this one.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just that the arguments that have been happening over the last few days is, does Cameron have a mandate to lead? Yeah. Does Brown have enough faith of the country to lead? I mean, that's what it's about, not about who won so many seats or whatever. Because no one won a majority, but it was all about who has the confidence of the people.
All right. Well, you know, Cameron had one of his campaign promises was to roll back the English education standards, the sort of national curriculum stuff. So we'll see if they go in that direction as we are moving in the other direction. All right, on to the show. Mickey, let's get started with Pardon the Gadfly.
There was a recent New York Times article about hedge fund managers getting involved in education in New York City, and specifically in trying to get the charter cap for New York State raised, and in general, putting a lot of their resources into the New York City charter movement. People like Diane Ravitch have said that this kind of concentrated influence by people with a lot of money is undemocratic, that these people are representing big business interests, and that they are wielding too much power. What do you think about that?
More power to them. This is the first time that we've had the power and the political will to stand up to the unions. So honestly, I think it would be very hard for these hedge fund managers to get enough power and enough money to really be quote-unquote undemocratic. I mean...
So this is sort of the two wrongs make a right argument, which is that the unions have a lot of power that you could say is undemocratic, or at least a twisted version of democracy. I mean, they have figured out a way to get their members to have to pay them these hefty dues that they use for political organizing. You know, the NEA spent more in the 2008 election cycle than anybody by a long shot, more than corporations, more than trial lawyers, more. And yet a lot of their members don't necessarily agree with them on many of the issues that they take. And that money eventually is from the taxpayers. I mean, we pay the teachers' salaries, and then they skim this off for the union. So anyway, so you could say from a money perspective, this is just a way of balancing the power. At the same time, you know, I think there's some reason to be a little bit concerned about folks that are dabbling in this, making sure they're doing it for the right reasons. Is this an ego trip for them to have these schools with their names on it or with their involvement? And are they amateurs to the extent that they could end up messing up the system instead of making it better? But still, I think most of these hedge fund guys, they don't have any profit motive. They're not invested in any companies involved in education. And certainly none of those education companies, from Edison to anybody else, have made a dime in this space. So this is not a lucrative thing. I think the worst you could say is that some of these guys, you know, maybe are doing it for ego trip reasons and whether or not they'll be in it for the long run. But hey, for the right now, it's better that we got them on our side than not
at
all. All right, next question.
Mike, on Monday, you posted a provocative critique of our current teacher pay system, in particular talking about the research that teachers don't necessarily, on average, get better the longer they stay in the system, but they do get more expensive. So you suggested a couple of different solutions to this problem, probably the most provocative being that schools more systematically get rid of their teachers as they get older to save money. am I correctly characterizing that?
Well, yes and no. I mean, so first of all, I'm not going to encourage districts to get into any age discrimination lawsuits here by just pushing teachers out